We are so glad you're joining us for Table Talk, where we dive a little deeper into Sunday's message. At Northridge, we exist to help people move closer to Christ. We believe that following Jesus is a journey, and we want to help you through that journey any way we can. And now, join two of our pastors for today's Table Talk.
Hey, you guys, I'm Laura Polak, and I'm here today with Adam Scott for Table Talk. Adam, yesterday you were talking about church as a team sport. Let's start off and tell me your favorite team sport. I feel like everyone already knows this, but we'll let them say it.
Yeah, I got a couple, and this is a good year for us. So anything Atlanta Braves or Georgia Bulldogs, I'm all for it. So right now, we're living high. We've been reminding people of like 1980 and 1995, and now we're telling everybody, hey, last year we were the best. So
I'm going to pretend like I knew what that meant. I know that those are baseball and football teams. Uh-huh, uh-huh. They play those with balls.
National championship and World Series. So
I remember people were very excited. Uh-huh. But you really emphasize the importance of unity and togetherness. Why is this such a big issue for the church?
Yeah, I honestly think this is probably the biggest issue as a church. And that's why ever since I've been at this church, I can remember our elders gathering and they pray for this all the time, over and over again. And I think that's probably why we as a church have experienced the kind of unity that we've had. We've had a lot of unity in this church, and we have a lot of unity in this church right now. But I just think to like John chapter 17, and it's Jesus' longest recorded prayer. And in the longest recorded section of the longest recorded prayer, he prays that we as a church would be united together in the same way that He and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, that they're united together. And so obviously it's a big deal, but you can even go all the way back to John chapter 13. And he says this, he says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." So basically, like all the strategies we've tried to employ to reach lost people in this world, he tells us this is the one that's going to work. We love one another, and people will see that, and they'll come to know Jesus as a result. This is a big deal.
It sounds pretty important. Mm-hmm. you also highlighted during a very tense moment for most of us that some people don't like our style of music, mm-hmm. That they actually wear earphones or earplugs mm-hmm. during the message. Mm-hmm. But you called them the picture of maturity. Mm-hmm. The people are raising the bar for the rest of us. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, that was my favorite part of the sermon because I had the view of looking out on everybody and they were scared to death about what I was going to say. And all those folks that I walked in and I saw them wearing earplugs, I knew who to look for when I made that statement, and they were elated. I mean, they were grinning ear to ear because they were being called out from the stage for the fact that they are raising the bar for us as a church. The truth is, musical style is not a biblical issue. I think there's great churches that do hymns, and there's great churches that do traditional stuff, and it's not really a big issue. It's just a matter of personal preference, and we do what we do because in the year 2022, we think this is the best way to reach the people that we're going after, the best way to engage them in worship, and so that's why we choose to do what we do. But there's some great churches in our area that have a different style, and I've recommended to some people that if musical style is a really big deal for you, there's some other churches you may want to try, and they would be great churches where you would learn and you would grow closer to Jesus and you would make a difference in the world. But if music is just kind of a tool that helps you a little bit, but it's not the meat of everything church is, these folks that say, I believe in the church and I believe in the next generation and I believe in what we're doing, and I'm willing to be a little bit uncomfortable to support that, man, that's a game changer for the church. And I absolutely love that. So I always tell people that we're probably headed towards a musical style that I don't like. We've had some younger staff come in and they've shown me some of the things that they're interested in. And I've tried to get into it. And at this point, I just can't quite get into it the way I want to. But I think it's probably where we're headed over the next few years. But I can worship on Mondays with whatever I want to. I can put my AirPods in and I can listen and I can jam out and have some time with Jesus. Sunday morning, I want to do whatever is going to engage the most people so they can grow closer to Jesus.
I like that. I like how you said, you know, stuff might make you a little uncomfortable, mm-hmm. but it's whatever engages the most people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It could be someone's first Sunday walking in off the street and they've never mm-hmm. heard of Jesus before. Mm-hmm. And if that's what's going to get them here and keep them here, then that's yeah. what we need to do the most of.
Well, and I don't want anybody to feel like I'm stalking them on Sunday mornings, but I actually was up at the front of the church this week and there was somebody that I know that's just jumped into church. I don't think think they have a church background. And I was watching them during the last song, and they didn't want to sing out. They were very still. But every once in a while they would mouth the words a little bit. You know, they were starting to engage with it. And that's what we want to see happen. It's breaking down walls, it's helping them engage, and honestly, it's giving them some music that they can take with them during the week and use to energize themselves then too, and help them feel closer to Christ.
I know my kids love, like when we did Raise a Hallelujah, we have to listen to that all the time on Spotify. You talked about finding and developing and using your spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. Do you think you have any spiritual gifts?
Well, I talked a little bit Sunday that I think public speaking is a spiritual gift that is absolutely from God, because there's nothing in me that's natural. I work really hard to be able to do what I do, but none of it comes naturally to me at all. This is God's work in my life. So I definitely think that's one of them. For all of my life, discernment has always been one of those spiritual gifts that rises to the surface as well. I used to look at that when I was younger, and I was really frustrated because I didn't understand what discernment meant.
Yeah, can you explain it to those of us who don't know what that means?
For me, it's always just been the fact that I can be in a situation, I can feel when something's right and when it's not right. Mm-hmm. I can kind of discern in a lot of situations what God's will is, what His plan is, and what direction He wants us to go. And so there's times in the church that I'll be involved in something, and there's just something heavy on my heart that this isn't right, or that this is right, and we need to run towards this. And it's just that being receptive to what God is saying, and that's a huge thing for me. I used to hate that was one of my gifts because I didn't know how to use it, and now it's one of my absolute favorite things about my relationship with Jesus, that He uses me in that way. So there's that, and leadership, administration, that always shows up somewhere on the spiritual gift test, and that's something that I enjoy doing as well.
That's one of my favorite things about my job. Like growing up, I thought like a spiritual gift meant that you could sing or you could play piano or you could draw, and I was not talented.
I don't have any of those.
But leadership and talking to people and encouraging people, those are things I can do, and it makes me so excited to have a job where I get to do these things every week. Well, we're almost out of time, but is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah, there was two quotes that I wanted to use in the sermon that I had to cut them because they didn't quite fit. But they were both from a book called Transformational Discipleship, and I will link to that in the show notes. But the two quotes were this: throughout the biblical narrative, community is emphasized and commanded. It is never presented as optional. Many have a misconception that the Christian faith is private. The Christian faith is personal, but never private. In fact, the more personal the faith is to a believer, the less private that faith becomes. And I love that quote because it tells us that your relationship with Jesus is personal, but we got to get out of that and recognize that we've got to come together as a church, and we've got to come together with a mission that says we're going to reach more people, because that's what the Christian faith is all about. And then a few pages later, he also said this: a Christian community is supernatural, but not always spectacular. Ministry and church leaders must quit promising spectacular community and instead offer the normal and messy, because the normal and messy community is supernatural and transformational over time. That hit me because I think sometimes in the church we tell people you got to get in a community group, you got to get on a serve team, and it's through these environments that something magical is going to happen, and it does. But it's not on day one. Mm-hmm. I didn't even enjoy my community group for 6 months when I joined it. And a lot of us have been together for 4 years now. I can't imagine doing life without these people. But putting myself out there, I had to be a little uncomfortable at first. Mm-hmm. And it was through that messy discomfort that over the course of time, God developed something that's changing my life for the better. So I think sometimes we've just got to get to a point where we recognize unity and community and togetherness, it matters. Just show up consistently over time, and God's going to work through that.
I can speak into that from an elementary pastor's point of view, like showing up for these kids every Sunday. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily see the difference you're making until much later down the line.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You might feel like you're just babysitting, or that these kids were off the chain today and that they didn't hear a word you said. But then my daughter will come home and she can spout off every single thing they talk to. And I'm like, you didn't even listen to me in large group. So that's really awesome. Mm-hmm. Those are great quotes.
Well, and as a former student pastor too, I know a lot of times it was like pulling teeth to get students to come to the programming. But once they came to it once, they're a little bit interested. They come twice and then three times. Before long, that was their community. Mm-hmm. But you got to take that first step of getting into it, being a little bit uncomfortable, and then God's going to use that over the course of time. So community matters, and it's worth being uncomfortable for.
Well, I hope you guys can get a little uncomfortable this week, building that community and building that unity. Thank you guys for joining us today for Table Talk.
Thanks for joining us for Table Talk. You can keep up with what's happening at Northridge on your mobile device through our Northridge Christian app. If you want to continue to dive deeper with us in this content, please like, subscribe, and share this show.